This is Canada Reads American Style, featuring two friends who love Canada Reads and Canadian literature. Welcome our host Rebecca from Michigan and Tara from Ontario. Hi everyone, it is Rebecca and Tara. And Tara, I'm going to turn over the intro to you because I'm traumatized.
Well, welcome to day two of our Canada Reads wrap up. Rebecca is traumatized. I am still shocked. Not wordless. That's not the word I want to use. The phrase speechless.
Speechless. Yeah.
Thank you.
Speechless.
Although perhaps I should be wordless because that was a terrible. Anyways, I'm not speechless because at the end of day two today, I had a few choice words that I yelled out.
Wow.
But, yeah. So Rebecca, what has you traumatized?
Well, let me just say that it brought back memories of when, because I'm pretty sure From the Ashes by Jesse Thistle got voted off on the second day. And so that was very upsetting to me because it's almost the same situation where everybody in Canada was loving the book. Everybody was saying it was going to win. A lot of people were saying Denison Avenue was going to win. And they had said earlier today that it's been on the bestseller list for 4 weeks in a row or something. So I just got this horrible just flashback of From the Ashes, which really was disturbing to me. And now this, I get it. It's a competition and they're going to play that sort of survivor game. And that's what they did. But I don't know. I just feel like going out on the second day is just wrong. That's how I feel. A good, really, really good book should not go out on the second day.
Yeah. Well, let's, on the positive side, he's now a free agent like Miriam is. And she was amazing today. Like she owned her free agency. And I felt like she started off with like, okay, you voted off my book. Now, I almost let a word slip. Now let's see what I'm going to make you defend your books. You know, like you got rid of mine. Why should yours be here? Like she really had a mission.
That's not helping me.
Oh, sorry.
It's just not.
He will do the same.
I know, but it's just not. And I'll tell you why, because I really thought about the three remaining books. Yeah. And I wrote a lot of notes. And so we can talk about this. But the things that people mentioned why they didn't like a certain book, or not that they didn't like it, that there were issues they might have with the book, it made me start to go, oh, yeah. Because a really good one was when they said that for the future, I think it was, Nahed said, I don't know if it's Nahed or Nahid, because I think I'm hearing it both ways. Yeah. But anyway, so I'll say Nahid because that's how it's spelled. But he said that, you know, government was still working. And it is true. I think that's the issue I had with the book.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. It was still looking like Detroit. Well, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but it still looked like Detroit. It was acting like Detroit. Everything about it was sort of like, well, this is kind of how it looks and operates. And yet there were all these kids in the grass, you know, living this alternative life. And so anyway, when he said that, that really resonated with me. And I think that is one of the issues I had with the book. Not even being able to articulate, that's why I liked it, but I didn't love this book. So now I'm kind of like, if it wins, I'm going to be kind of like, okay, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not at the same level as you. I'm shocked. I was shocked by the vote. Like, it came out of left field. But I just enjoyed the dramatic moment. I was sad to see it go because it was the book that I thought was going to win. But at the same time, I was like, what a moment. You know, but
yeah.
No, you're like, no, Tara.
No, it was great drama. It was great drama. But yeah. No, I'm not, when I say, because I don't get over things easily. Like when things bug me, I'm telling you, I never got over From the Ashes. I never got over that.
I haven't either.
Yeah. And so I just feel the same way. Again, I think if it had gone out like on the next day, the third day, mm-hmm. I would have been like, okay, well, you know, it's how the game is played. But I don't think the book that everybody was championing and really saying they wanted, because everybody I read or heard, they all said Denison Avenue. They just were so solid about it. I didn't read anybody else saying any other book would that they wanted it to win. Everybody had some, you know, some consensus there. And so then when it goes out on the second day, I just kind of think, I get, like I said, I get the competition. I get the kind of cutthroat, you know, machinations that kind of go on. But it just makes me feel disappointed. And the other, let's see, what are the other ones? Bad Cree.
Mm-hmm. Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Which I never told the truth about Bad Cree, but there were some issues I had with it, which I never actually articulated because I thought they sound so freaking petty when I say them out loud. So I didn't say like why the book was not my favorite. So again, you know, and this isn't a popular view, but just for the story and what I think the message was trying to tell, Shut Up, You're Pretty would still be my book at this point. But I also understand that the majority of Canadians are not going to read this and feel the same way. I get how graphic it is in many people's point of view and that it's not a book for everyone. So I don't think it really should win. But if I went by which of those three books did I like more, it would be Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So how about you?
I, of course, was going for Denison Avenue. And now of the three that's left, I would be happy with The Future winning. Because I actually really enjoyed The Future. It didn't have the emotional tug that Denison Avenue did. And I think in Denison Avenue, everyone can see themselves in Chosum's situation at some point. Because we're, you know, if we're blessed, mm-hmm. everyone's going to get old. Yeah. And everyone's going to find themselves having lost some part of their community. It happens. It's just a circle of life. So The Future did not resonate with me emotionally like that. Like I didn't have an emotional response to The Future like I did with Denison Avenue. However, I still loved the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was I think someone, I don't remember who said this, but somebody either said it or to us directly, or I read it somewhere, but that idea that you've got this sort of kind of like almost magic realism in the middle with these kids. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why, I think if it had just been the story of community, because I did actually like that part of it. The part with the kids wasn't as interesting to me because it just sort of jolted me out of what was kind of this regular story that I actually liked. Because I did like how they were, you know, growing gardens together and mm-hmm. they were, you know, Gloria had, I can't remember the woman's name, but the neighbor that she had that relationship with, like, I really liked that relationship.
Yeah,
and I liked how the community was coming together. But then for me, and I understand the kids, that's like a major part of the story. But for me, I was just kind of like, that part just didn't really strike me as much. I liked the other parts of the story though. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but okay.
Well,
I know. I just have to suck it up.
Would you be interested in going from beginning to end for their open? Because I liked how they had it set up today. It wasn't like random questions in which everyone kind of, Ali chose one person to answer the question first and then they went around. But they went around with like, defend your book. And then others popped in with their criticisms. And mm-hmm. I really liked that setup today.
Yeah. I did too. Yeah. I really like that. And I watched it a second time and I kind of took notes for each book. So do we want to kind of go through each book and talk about it? Okay.
Fun. Yeah.
So let's see. The first one they talked about obviously was Denison Avenue.
Yeah.
And are there any points you want to make about that? Are the argument either what Nahid said or what the others said?
Well, I wrote down notes a little bit of everything, but for Miriam, I have down that she was on the attack, like right from the first stop, which I loved. Also, kudos to her for the morning outfit. I loved what she was wearing and the black veil. She looked amazing.
Did you see the full?
I did.
Yeah, how it was like see-through in the front and everything. Yeah, that was a really, I love that choice. Yeah. It was very bold.
Like,
yeah.
Kudos to her for the commitment. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, she's in mourning for her book. Love it. So, and I loved what she said about, which was very interesting in relation to the book that she had been championing, which is a romance with a happy ending, that her issue with Denison Avenue was the lack of fulfillment, that there wasn't, almost like there wasn't that happy ending at the end. Mm-hmm. Right. So I liked that she brought that back to her book, not directly, but it helped explain why she chose a romance as well, even more so.
Yeah.
So that was what the big one that I took away from that. Oh, and I liked their discussion of the first person versus third person and how Cho Sum sounded, and Chloe, it was a really good discussion about Denison Avenue.
Okay, so I like the part about the happy ending. I thought Naheed's response to that was so amazing. And just talking about that subtle thing at the end where she was kind of just moving forward in her life.
Yeah.
And it is the difference between, and that's what I always say is, I don't like a happy ending, like a happy, happy ending, because it never feels quite real. And it always feels like that's where the story ends. Like you have this like brilliant, like woohoo, happy ending, but I can't picture it going forward. Whereas if you have a subtle happy ending, then I think like, okay, and then the next day is Monday and then life continues. Mm-hmm. But I don't like big dramatic happy endings at the end. It's just too much for me. So I loved Naheed's response to that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that just blew my mind was when Heather made that comment about how the voices weren't authentic because it didn't sound like Cho Sum and it didn't sound like Chloe. But what he said, and I wrote it down because I loved it, he just said something to the effect that their internal voices are not what we would expect. And I thought about that because really, when we think about it, all of us are in our heads. We have more conversations with ourselves than anyone else on the planet, right? Because we're constantly, you know, talking to ourselves in some manner. And so Cho Sum, we think of her as this frail, kind of sad character in a way, but she's not in her interior life because her it's mostly because we go, oh, she can't speak English. She can't really be clear about herself. But in her head, she's living her life, right?
Yes.
So I just love the way he pointed that out and that the voices, just because we don't think the voices ring true doesn't mean they don't ring true in the minds of the characters. I just thought that was such a profound comment. And it makes me think going forward, I may remember that sometimes when I feel like a character doesn't seem authentic. I just felt like that was a really profound thing that he said. So I love that. And I'm looking to see if there was anything else. Oh, and then just one thing where Kuda Kwashe made that comment that Chloe was at the beginning and then she was at the end and she really wanted her in the center. And again, I love that he said that in a way, Cho Sum kind of had to go through that time of her life seemingly alone. And I just thought that was a really, because I pictured her just like pushing that cart, trying to make her way, trying to find a new way to live her life and move on without her husband. And so I like that Chloe sort of bookended her story. So I love that. So I was good with that.
I liked Kuda Kwashe's, what she had to say about the style of the writing too, I didn't always agree with it because I actually loved the author's use of space and parity of words sometimes on a whole page. So, but I appreciated that she brought that into the, onto the table, like the discussion.
Yeah. And for me, I just felt like she just kind of went on too long about it, because that actually was a very long piece that she was saying. And I kind of wish Allie had sort of cut it a little bit short, because it's sort of like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I also think, because I agree, I the space didn't bother me. And she was, but she's, I think, a very, like she said, she's really into poetry. I think maybe she's a very visual person. So she was really hitting that point hard.
Yeah.
And that just didn't resonate with me, because I saw it the way maybe you saw it, which is, I love that space. I sort of felt like I understood either what she was saying or what was going on internally in her mind, or mm-hmm. even just moving the story forward. I did enjoy that part of the book.
Yeah. Yeah. The more that Kutakwashi talked about it, the more I was like, yeah, that's right. Like in my head, she was arguing for the book. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know, because I enjoyed it so much that I'm mm-hmm. like, you're not really, this is not a negative towards the book. So, but for her, it was.
Right. And if you think about it, that is what stood out about that book, right? It had mm-hmm. the illustrations. It had that unique visual look to it with the text. So I just thought all of those things coming together made that just a really special book.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. Anything else about Denison Avenue? I'm just looking really quick here.
No, I think I hit all my major points. Although I'll mention Dallas, because he spoke after Miriam when she had mentioned the lack of fulfillment that she had at the end of the book. Mm-hmm. And I liked his statement, short but sweet, which was essentially like, you know, what does every reader want? Like, it depends upon what the individual reader wants. Some readers want the ending, some people readers don't.
Exactly.
So, and I thought it was a very astute mm-hmm. comment that he made.
Yeah, I agree. I really like that too. Yeah. Cause one of the things he said was, it was a real life ending. He said, yeah, it wasn't tied up in a bow, but it was a real life ending. So yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the next book? Was Shut Up, You're Pretty. Whoosh.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to see. Oh, I liked Kutakwashe's point, like when she introduced why she picked the book or why she thinks it should win or whatever. And she was just making that point, all those things about women, about how we're supposed to be, I'll sum it up, we're supposed to be enough, but not too much.
Yeah.
Right. So we're supposed to look a certain way, act a certain way, da 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 da. And I just thought that was so beautifully stated.
Yeah.
And I think it probably resonates with most women when they hear it. So I really love that opening statement of hers.
Me too. She said something about like the absence of shame of female sexuality. And mm-hmm. I was like, yes, that's it exactly. Which is also why I think I was uncomfortable reading the book, because mm-hmm. in my head, like, you know, I couldn't get past that shame of the female sexuality that was on the page.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, so that was part of my issue as a reader. So I really like that she pointed it out.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder too, if in general, if the book resonates more with younger readers than with older readers.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. What are you saying, Rebecca? Are you saying that I'm old?
I'm saying, because we have a lot of friends who are, well, not as old as me, but you know what I'm saying. But here's why though. I do wonder, because I'm not going to go into my boring reason why I think this, but I do think it may not be as big an issue with younger readers, because I think when you look at, I don't know, I'm pretty sure Canada is the same way as the US, but people are marrying later and later in life. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of years where they are still single and out there doing their thing. And when the way I grew up, and even though I grew up, I mean, I grew up in the 70s, but even then I would say, you know, it wasn't looked at like women should be out there embracing their sexuality. That was not the message that I was getting or that we were getting at that age back in the day. And so, but I think now it's changed a lot. And I listen to a lot of videos and stuff, and I hear a lot of younger people and how they go through their lives. And there's just not there's just not as judgmental a view mm-hmm. of female sexuality. I know what she said, and I don't disagree with a lot of what she said, but I also think young women just go out and live their lives. I don't think they're sweating it so much. So I feel like they might read this book. That was a long way to get to that point. They might read that book and just be like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Whereas older, those of us who are older might kind of go, I don't know, man, that seems a little bit, you know.
Maybe we have more graphic barriers to break down. Right? When it comes to that stuff.
To reading it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
to reading
I think it's harder for us, I think. And the reason I say that is because I was trying to think of, I don't remember what book it was, and I feel like it was from last year, but I remember looking at the CBC Books Facebook page, which I did, I'm not on Facebook, so I didn't look this year, but I just remember something about, I feel like there was something going on in one of the books, and man, the older ladies came out, and again, I'm an older lady, I'm just saying, the older ladies came out and they were just horrified by whatever it was. I just don't remember what book it was.
I think it was Johnny Appleseed.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
I think so.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Yeah. And they were just like, I mean, they just did not like that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like I think people should take a page from your book, which is you give everything an equal opportunity. You'll read it. It doesn't matter the genre, doesn't matter any of the things that hang up a lot of us as readers, like definitely myself, you will give everything a chance and a fair chance, which I'm always kind of blown away by it. And I just don't think, I think a lot of us make really quick assumptions and judgments right off the bat. And I think it's harder for us to be open to something that makes us uncomfortable, but that is definitely worth often worth the journey.
Yeah. It's not easy being uncomfortable. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I think this was also the discussion that Mariam mentioned, calling this more of a niche book.
Mm-hmm.
And that she wondered if this really was, because I loved it. She said, we don't all have a coup de quache sitting beside us as we read this book.
Great line.
It was a great line.
That was a brilliant line.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked that she said, I'll, that's all I can say. I'm like, it was just a great line. And I love seeing these two women discuss books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if I don't agree with what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
they're just, I just love watching the two of them discuss books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really great point. I agree. Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's any other point that they made. It was just kind of about the fact that they were short stories and it didn't fill in all the gaps. But I think, and I know what it was. They said something about, they had like storylines that were left hanging that the author never came back and cleaned up. And in a way, which I didn't even remember that. And again, I listened to it the second time around, and audiobooks for me are a little bit difficult, but I don't catch everything. But I kind of appreciate that because, again, this wasn't a linear narrative of her life. It was jumping around from here to there. And if there were times when it didn't, where we don't double back and find out the end result of something, that's kind of a bold move. And I kind of like that.
Yeah. See, I didn't, when I think Heather brought it up to like the missing threads or something that she called it. And they, her and might've been Nahid as well, who said that there were just things that they had wanted to know that they just didn't find out. And they mentioned, used as an example, something that had happened with her brother. And all of a sudden I went, right. I'm like, I totally remembered that. And I wanted to know. And I remember not knowing.
Yeah.
And the same when her friend Jolie just kind of like, she's like a pivotal character for like several stories, or at least a 2-3 stories at the beginning. And then she's just gone. And I wanted to know what happened to Jolie. And you never, I don't remember finding out what happened. And that did bug me. It did.
See, I love that because that is real life to me. And I'll give you a really good example, right? I lost a good friend, what I thought was a really good friend, and you know this person. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, I don't know why. Like, I don't know why this person just opted out. I have no idea. I mean, I could kind of guess, but I couldn't really confirm it. And you were just like, well, things happen, you know, like, don't worry about it. Just let it just, you know, like, kind of move on. Just don't worry about it. And I did. I let it go. You said, let it go. I let it go. But the thing is, maybe there's no answer. Maybe there's no real, unless we flat out ask Jolie why, maybe she had to move on. And it's just like, I don't know what happened there. Because that happens often in life.
People get
ghosted. Yeah, people get ghosted. And you're just like, shit, I don't know why that happened. Yeah.
The friendships just kind of, there's no reason for it. It's just, they just kind of drift. And then you're just casual friends who say hi and then say, and we'll get a coffee sometime. And you never get a coffee.
Yep. So I don't know. I guess that's why, and I've said this before, but I don't think I've said it on the podcast. But the reason I really liked this book is that I felt like this was a real picture. And again, I appreciate Taya Mutonji saying this. It's not, you know, all Black, young Black women, this is their life, but it's this one young Black woman, this is her life. And the truth is, I thought it was an unvarnished, real portrait of someone that people may, or, you know, may know in their lives or may have seen and judged or whatever. And that's what I loved, is this character was so real to me. And I think somebody even made a comment that it felt like a memoir or something.
Yeah. I can't remember who that was, but
yeah. So yeah. I like the book.
Yeah. I am, like, it wasn't a book for me, but I am appreciating what the book was. The more that we go on each day with Kanda Reads and the more that Kuta Kwashi talks, mm-hmm. I appreciate the book more than I did.
Yeah.
Like I'm.
Again, that's why I love knowing you and having you as a friend, because again, you will absolutely give books a chance and just be so open to them. I love that about you, because
thank you.
I'm not like that. So, but I really appreciate that about you. Okay. Our next book.
Yeah.
Bad Cree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did you think?
Dallas confused me here a little bit, because he started off with one argument and he was talking like in his opening statement, and he was following it. And then he said, but if I keep following it, I'm going to alienate most of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So then he stopped and he switched it. And I didn't mind what he switched to, like talking about the community and the collective versus the individual.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not quite sure that I got why that he would alienate a large part of the country. And also, like, so what? Like, you know, I mean, like, in my head, I'm like, just, if you alienate, you alienate. Like, just, that's not on you. That's on the people that are having that response to what you're saying.
I took it as, because he was talking about his First Nations peoples, that mm-hmm. that it would narrow it. If he stuck to that idea of, this is our story, this is how we tell our stories.
Yeah.
I felt like he was saying that would alienate people who don't have that experience and that background.
Okay.
So that's how I took it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, because Myrian, man, she like kicked ass on this one, because she basically said, why this book and why now?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, girl, go for it. And he did not have a solid answer. I listened to his answer and he just talked about generational trauma. But I kept thinking to myself, Dallas, she asked you why this book and why now? And I think I would have made my thesis statement first and answered it. And then if you want to give your supporting facts, do that. But I felt like he just kind of didn't really tell us.
No.
He just couldn't get there. He just couldn't get there.
She gave him the opening. She wanted examples from the book. She wanted him to, like, she gave him the opportunity and he couldn't take it. He kept it very general. I don't think even in his response, I'm not sure that he even mentioned the book itself. Like, I wrote it down, like, you know, like his steps, boom, 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 boom. But I don't know if he actually mentioned the book.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
And so that makes her vote totally make sense, that she voted against this book.
That's exactly what I thought, too. He just never got there. The other ones, when she asked their question, her question of the others, they did get to the point that I think she was looking for, but he did not. Yeah. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting was about saying that Mackenzie's family doesn't seem dysfunctional. And I think Nahidi was the one that said that. And I thought about it. And it, what's interesting is I don't even think that it needed to be necessarily that Mackenzie left because the family was dysfunctional. Mackenzie left because Mackenzie was having the issue.
Yeah.
It, I don't think necessarily it had to be, we had to show proof of the family is dysfunctional, because the family did seem like they were pretty united and they were supportive of one another and they understood what it meant to live in community and live together. But Mackenzie was the one, she was the sticking point, right? Which is why she left and why she didn't like see her mother again, like all those things that she didn't do, that was really on Mackenzie. And it's when she came back and started to realize, oh my gosh, I've denied myself the love and support of this family. That's when she fit in. So I feel like he missed an opportunity because he kind of tried to say like, well, you know, dysfunction can be kind of like you don't really see it and something about substance abuse. And I thought, no, you're missing the point, in my opinion, is that it was Mackenzie that was struggling, not the family unit necessarily. At least that's how I saw it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Miriam is going to really go for Bad Cree tomorrow. Like she's going to, I would be surprised if she doesn't. Like not go for it. I don't mean be that aggressive. But I think she's going to give, she's going to have questions. And Dallas had better be ready for them.
Yeah. And I will be shocked if it, if Bad Cree doesn't get voted off.
Yeah.
Because he just hasn't made his case.
No.
In the same way that the others have. So I kind of feel like, it will go next. But you know, I was shocked today. So who knows?
Yep.
Okay. What about the future?
Okay, Heather has surprised me in that I love everything that she has to say, but she has surprised me in that she is not as Mark Tewksbury-like as I thought she was going to be. I really, I don't know why, but I really thought she was going to be the one to come with the flip open the big binder and just flipping pages and have this point and this point to say. And she doesn't. And sometimes I think she loses her focus and doesn't always answer the question. Because I think Nahid had some, he had a question. Like he said, basically, I don't really understand what happened sometimes. Like it was supposed to be dystopian, yet there was still a government. There was just less fire trucks and stuff like this. And her response didn't answer it. It was about the Great White Flight.
Oh, the white flight out of Detroit. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, this is a really like interesting answer, but that's not what the question was. So I had that, but I did like what she said about, oh, again, Miriam coming back to her. Cause this is the only time I will disagree really with when she went for that, it's not set in Canada and no Canadian characters. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, that's a cheap shot. If that's what you have against this book, then that was just a bit of a cheap shot.
Yeah.
So I liked Heather's response about boundaries not really existing anymore, being very fluid and stuff. And, you know,
I wish that was true. I'd be up north if that was true. I'll tell you that right now. I know I keep thinking about there's that boundary like in New Hampshire or something or Vermont or something where you literally just walk across the street and there are no border guards there. And I think, well, I'm just going to do that.
Go find it. Yep.
I agree with you. When she made that argument, I thought, we've heard this a million times before, and I don't think it matters. I mean, they often bring it. Somebody always brings it up when it happens, but I don't think it's.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to hear my take on it?
Yes, I do.
And I know it's because she will never listen to this podcast. I am confident. I am very confident.
Okay.
She drove me nuts today.
Oh no, like the whole time?
Oh my God. I could not even, that's why I had to watch it twice, because I literally, you can see me, but I literally watched her like this. I couldn't look at her hands doing this and this. And then I felt like her hands were driving her discussion, which was really like off the mark for me. I couldn't even, like, I agree with you, and you actually stated it beautifully. I thought she would be a Mark Tewksbury too. And she was not even close to that, because her answers were loosey-goosey. They didn't make sense to me. And that's why I listened to it again. But I literally had to watch like this, because I couldn't watch her hands anymore. But here's the thing that made me laugh. And so I'm just going to put this shout out to everybody. If you're in the Detroit area, like if you're in Ontario, like the Windsor area or Sarnia or something, she did mention John King books.
Yeah.
And I did not know if it's true, and I'll have to check, because I did do a tour of John King books in Detroit with my board and a number of staff. We went down and spent the day or the morning there and got a personal tour of the behind the scenes at John King Books, which is amazing. And I did not know he got a lot of his books from abandoned Detroit homes and stuff. So that's fascinating. And I'm going to look that up. That was kind of cool. So when she went into that, and then she went into this other place where it was an Underground Railroad stop or something. And I'm like, girl, yank it back to the point. What is your point? Because that was so off the chain. Now, let me just say, I am Heather. Me personally, that is what I do. I start here, mm-hmm. and then I go, woo, and I end up here.
Yep.
And I may never get back to the point. So I don't dislike Heather, but she drove me crazy. And I also understand that I probably drive people crazy, but you know what? It's kind of like Heather feels probably the same. Too bad, you know, too bad. What is it? So sad, too bad, or whatever that thing is. I can't think what it's called, but or how it goes. I've never had a defender that I felt that way about. And so I feel kind of bad. But again, I know she'll never listen to this, but and of course I would never tag her or anything, because it's just her personality. And I'm not saying that I'm not like her.
I would be the same way also. But what I would say would not be nearly as interesting as what she says. Because I do find, like, I like what she says, but sometimes, and you can, my hands are going as well. Like, I have the hand thing as well. Like, my kids always make fun of me. They're like, oh, and I'm like.
Me too.
Yes, I love what she says, but yes, sometimes that just doesn't answer the question.
Yeah.
I find she's more direct when she's talking about someone else's book.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. That's a really great point. I totally agree with you. And that's why I feel like the right now in the competition, the best defender of a book is Coup de Crochet with Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Yeah.
She has been able to really make her point for her book. I think if it wins, I think it'll be a little bit of a controversial decision. Mm-hmm. Choice to have that be the winner. So I think it probably, I don't know. How do you think it's going to end? Since we've talked about all of them, how do you think it'll go?
I think she has a really good chance because she is so good. Like, I feel like I'm just going to make assumptions that book made most of the people at that table uncomfortable when they read it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet I don't think it's gotten a vote yet? What did?
No.
Right?
Right. Because the first day, the Future got one vote. The rest were for Meet Me at the Lake.
Yep.
Today, obviously, Denison Avenue and the Future and Brad Creek got one, but Shut Up, You're Pretty hasn't gotten any.
Yeah. Like, because I think she's doing such a solid job
mm-hmm.
that she's like, I don't know if she's flipping people or she's just taking herself off the radar enough when it comes to voting time. I don't know, but I think she's got a good chance.
Yeah, that's really interesting because obviously she voted to get rid of Denison Avenue because she saw that as her biggest competition, right?
Yeah.
Heather voted for it again, her biggest competition.
Yeah.
And then interestingly, it makes sense, of course, that Nahid would vote for The Future, seeing that as his competition.
Yeah.
And then Dallas's vote was sort of interesting to me because he did vote for The Future. And, but he never really, I never got a sense of what he really didn't like or did like about a book. Did you ever get a real sense of it?
No, especially the future. I don't even have any notes written down for what he said about the future.
Oh yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. So I don't even know if he did he not speak or did he just like make a statement and I missed it. I'm not sure, but maybe that's his way of saying that he didn't like it by not talking about it. I don't know.
Yeah. That is weird. How did he not say anything?
Or maybe he got missed in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was at the end.
Yeah.
And how did we miss that? Yeah. So that was a vote that kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
And so tomorrow, I think they're going to go after Shut Up, You're Pretty because it hasn't had any votes yet.
Yeah, they could.
Because I think
Heather will.
Go after Shut Up, You're Pretty?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so too, because she does know the strongest debater at the defender at the table is Kudakwashe. Yeah. So you're right. I think she will go after that. Ooh, that's a really good prediction. Good job. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
So
what if they go after each other and Bad Cree just
Well, I was thinking that. Yeah. I was thinking that Bad Cree could win. And honestly, even though he will not have necessarily fully earned the title, I think it could win because I think people generally liked the book, right? I think people generally did. I know a lot of people who really liked it. So, yeah, you know what? Oh, my gosh. Okay, but we still have to make a prediction of who we think is going to get voted off tomorrow. It's kind of fun just to make a stab at it. Okay, so who do you think will get voted off tomorrow?
Okay, let me think. I'm trying to think of how...
Take your time. No, here's why. Take your time because I will just edit out the long string where we're trying to figure it out. So go ahead, take your time to think about it, and I'll just edit that part. So go ahead, think about it.
Okay, let me think. So if we have Heather with Shut Up, You're Pretty, Kudakwashe with The Future,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume, and not rightfully to do so, though, because he is like an agent of chaos. I'll assume that Dallas is going to go with The Future again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Naheed. Well, he seemed to have real issues with The Future. And I know we voted against it today, but I don't know if that was necessarily strategic or that he really, that's the one he wanted. So if I
got to go back and look at my notes now because now I'm curious about what he said.
Oh, he was talking about how it was supposed to be dystopic, but the government was there and that just didn't make sense to him and stuff.
Yep.
He had the real issues with that. You know what? And then Mariam, I don't know what I feel like she wants to take down Bad Cree because she just wants Dallas to talk. But then she doesn't think that Shut Up, You're Pretty is really the book for all of Canada to read.
No, definitely not. No. It's a very dark kind of cynical graphic story. Yeah. I don't think she would. You're right. I think she's going to vote.
Shut Up.
I think she's going to vote Shut Up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And.
Okay. I got to write this down. So what do we think we're saying? So Myrian will vote for Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Yeah. This is just me. You could be different.
I'm agreeing with everything you're saying so far. I'm totally agreeing with you. Okay. So, and then
Heather with Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Yep, you're right.
Naheed, I'm thinking The Future.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Dallas voted for The Future yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see him flipping too and going with Shut Up, You're Pretty as well. Because if he thinks...
I think he will stick with The Future because I think he still sees that as his competition perhaps. Whereas again, I don't think anybody's thinking Shut Up, You're Pretty. And I don't know that Dallas is, I don't know if he understands the competition in that way that you should also vote for the one you know what I mean? Like the one that hasn't had any votes. I mean, he doesn't strike me as a really, what's the word? Like kind of like sneaky and underhanded, like really trying to figure out. I think he's a pretty, like, you know, going with his gut.
Yeah.
So I think he'll vote for The Future. So that leaves Kudakwashe.
I think she'll go with The Future. So it could be The Future going tomorrow.
I think it's The Future. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. That's, we're both in agreement.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Let's see what happens. Oh my God. So exciting. I hate that I have to work tomorrow.
Oh,
so exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think we have really fleshed everything out as much as we can today. This was a great discussion. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And we will do day three tomorrow.
We will. Ooh. Same place, same time, roughly. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Happy Canada Reads. Thank you for joining us on our bookish journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing Canada Reads American Style wherever you listen. You can connect with the podcast and Rebecca on Instagram at Canada Reads American Style and with Tara at On a Branch Reads. Until next time, keep reading.